It's great to be here this evening. And we consider not ignoring the composer. And I wanted to talk about some of the brilliant composers from the 1700s. This is Antonio Salieri. Salieri started his musical studies in his native province of Verona in northern Italy. And he was a very brilliant composer. But it took him extra work to be able to do things. He wasn't a prodigy. The things that he had great ideas. He was very much brilliant, but he had to work diligently to write his music. He was born in an era of brilliant musicians. He was able to have good teachers. The works that he did are still played today in some cases. He had some very famous people to become great musicians themselves. One of his contemporaries was Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. It's a good thing that Lisa is the one that's named our children, because you might be talking to baby Wolfgang in the back. And I'd like to lie, but I'm going to tell you the truth. That was a name that I suggested. Wolfie Hendrix, come on, that's great. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart was a prodigy. He was competent on keyboard and violin by the age of 5. I mean, I don't know if I could have blown my nose by myself at the age of 5. And he could play on the keyboard, he could play on the violin, and even further, at the age of 5, he composed and performed before European royalty. How neat is that? He was brilliant. He was a prodigy. The things that he would write would come from his mind, just flow out beautifully. He was a composer. Then we go to Ludwig von Beethoven. I'm sure we're familiar with Beethoven. Caden Groda found out what I was going to be preaching on, and he said, "What is Beethoven doing right now?" And I said, "I don't know." He goes, "Decomposing." Well played, sir. I like it. Made me laugh. Beethoven was a prodigy as well. Mozart was encouraged by his father. Beethoven was given rigorous study habits. One of his instructors, Pfeiffer, was an insomniac. So he would wake up Beethoven from his sleep to have him practice. And then Beethoven's father was a drunk who would bring his friends home from the bar and make his son play for him. And if he messed up, he would beat him. Beethoven grew up to be a rather sour individual, but he was very brilliant as well. Some royalty actually sent him to go study with Mozart. These guys were all contemporaries to one another. He actually did some studying under Salieri that we talked about at first. All these guys were around at the same time. And while these composers were brilliant in varying degrees, some had to work harder. Some had it naturally and had a positive outlook. Some were brilliant and were prodigies and had a very angry outlook on life. When we consider the greatest composer of all time, we have to look to God. We have to look to God, because if we consider you write something, then it's done. Consider what Jesus said, "Be still," and the storm stopped immediately. Jesus said, "Be cleansed," and the leper was cured instantly. Jesus said, "Come forth," and Lazarus walked out promptly. Jesus said, "Come out," and the demons fled fearfully. Jesus said these things merely speaking, and all of these gave way to the power of Jesus' voice. Nature capitulates, disease retreats, demons surrender. The master composer would have harmony in his symphony. Now, we are very much a part of that today. The challenge of life is finding harmony with the will of God. For us to understand that, we have to know, and to play the composer's symphony, we have to know the notes. If we're going to play the part that the composer has set forth, we have to be familiar with the music. We have to be familiar with what the expectations of the composer are. When we look to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we say, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 his desire for what Christians should be doing, the type of mind that we should have. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, we see, "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment." We have to be of the same mind. While we consider Beethoven and Mozart and these brilliant composers, we could have someone trained in music to sing a beautiful aria. But if I am singing a Peter Schickele piece, it's going to clash. And cool points to anybody who knows Peter Schickele. We consider that we need to be on the same page. Even Mozart and Beethoven's music, if played at the same time, is going to cause an awful racket. We as Christians should be on the same page because we are reading from the same symphony. That being the Bible. We look to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. We have to remember that we have been commissioned to do this. Artists are commissioned to sing their parts, to play their parts. We have been commissioned to play the symphony. We look to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. "For you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body." That means that we as Christians, if we're going to take a step away from the analogy this evening, we as Christians must walk as a Christian should. If we're going to be Christians, we live that Christian life. We look to Ephesians 4 verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." We are called together in so many different ways to be one voice to our community. We're to play this beautiful symphony. Everybody is different parts, and people in our community should be drawn to what we are playing. Our hearts must be in the right place to play the right notes. We want to play the notes that we like because they're things that we want to do. When we became Christians and we repented, we left a life of sinfulness to walk a life toward God. There are things that we left behind, but we're used to playing that worldly symphony, aren't we? We're used to the sins of the world, and it takes extra and diligent effort to turn away from that. To turn away from playing those off notes. And it's crucial that we never get used to playing wrong notes. We never get used to playing wrong notes. We have quite a few musicians here at North Jefferson, and I could guarantee you that if we asked any of them that have had to deal with a conductor or someone who is in charge, that if they played wrong notes, that the conductor went, "Oh, just do what you want. Just do whatever makes you feel comfortable." I'm talking the classical era, not the modern era. Classical era of music, where they were very strict about what their sheet music was. Practices can take hours until performers play the right notes. It takes effort and it takes discipline. And we as Christians have to show that same type of effort and that same sort of discipline to play the right notes that God would have us to play in our lives. We look to James chapter 4 and verse 8. We have to understand that the heathen and the Jews were accustomed to washing their hands before they engaged in public worship. The particular idea here is that in order to obtain favor with God, it was necessary to put away our sins. They understood that, but they didn't put the sins away. And in James chapter 4 and verse 8, we said, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." I love that, purify your hearts. That is, do not rest satisfied with a mere external reformation. Don't just wash the outside. Change on the inside. We need to be a people that if we do sin, play those wrong notes, that we get it right. We don't just continue to go in that direction. We can't say, well, this is where I am now. This is as good of a musician as I'm going to be. I have reached the top. Wrong notes or whatever, God better accept it. That's not how our Father operates. He gave us everything we need in the Bible for Christian living, for becoming Christians, and for pleasing worship. And He expects us to follow that, living beautiful lives. When we persist in playing the wrong notes, we eventually write our own symphony. I love the game where you name that tune. Anybody familiar with Name That Tune? You ever played Name That Tune with somebody who's tone deaf? And it's like, well, I have no earthly idea what song you're playing. I have no idea what you're humming. And then they're like, oh, it's Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. It's like, that sounded nothing like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. Didn't sound anything like it. And if it's a song that you're not familiar with, it's like, I have no idea. But if we play the wrong notes in our lives long enough, we're going to write our own symphony. And it's not going to be what God expects of us. When we get comfortable with dissonance and begin to call that harmony, we run into problems. We look to Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Our symphony slowly drowns out the true till we no longer hear the beautiful one that God has written. How many things today do people consider good that the Bible condemns? And we have Christians who are influenced by the wrong notes of the world. You know, a few years ago, the Supreme Court put down DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. And I remember it upsetting my stomach. I was at camp when that passed, and I had to think, 100 years ago, when Prohibition was going on, how did the Christians feel when Prohibition was struck down? And it made me wonder. Here we are 100 years later, and we have brethren who will try to justify social drinking that are okay with playing the wrong notes. It makes me fear for what people are going to call marriage in 100 years if they don't stick with the Bible. We consider good and evil. We consider what is wrong and what is right. We have to look to the Bible to find what is right. And that is what we do. Those are the right notes. We can't grow accustomed to playing the wrong notes, trying to please a society that hates Jesus. We need to strive to play what God would have us to play. What will the composer do to the musicians whose screeching he can no longer tolerate? I am one of those precious few that when I hear a note that is really wrong, it hurts. Oh, it hurts. I have trouble watching American Idol, especially during those tryouts. You know, those early rounds where somebody gets up and tries to sing a song, and it's just like, ugh. Just hit a few of the notes. We look to what God's expectations are for us. He's not going to sit back and go, well, you know, you're singing the words, but you're not hitting the notes, but come on in. That's not in the nature of God. We serve a loving God who desires everyone to find salvation. But we also serve a just God. If we serve a just God, He can't say, well, you know what? You gave it the old college try. Come on in. You know, you were mostly good, but here you were a pretty rotten scoundrel. So, it's all good. Come on in. Hebrews 10:26 blows that position up. We looked to Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, or his ear dull, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Sin separates us from God. Disharmony from the beautiful symphony that God has written separates us from the composer. We look to Romans chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. And what Romans chapter 1, verses 24 and 25 say, therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their heart to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. What is the composer going to do to the musicians who aren't playing the symphony? They're going to be separate from God. So we consider Salieri, Mozart, Beethoven. They were brilliant composers whose music lives on today. Their music is enjoyable to the ears. God, though, is not the composer of literal music. He is the composer of life that has given us the sheet music to the symphony He wants us to play, that being the Bible. Thus, we must live our lives in harmony with the will of God. We must have our hearts in the right place, or we will play the wrong notes. And if we play enough wrong notes, we will write our own spiritual symphony that is not God's. And what will the composer do to the musicians whose screeching he can no longer tolerate? They'll be cast away. He will say, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness. The lesson is yours this evening. I encourage you to play the right notes, to follow the symphony that God has given, to do as the New Testament commands, to be obedient to the gospel, to become a Christian as the New Testament is laid out for us to do, not with man-made traditions, but to what the Bible has commanded. For us to hear the word, to believe, to repent, and as Christ said in Luke 13:3, to confess Jesus as Lord, as the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, and to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, to walk in a newness of life, is Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 state. We look to Acts chapter 19, and we see that not just any baptism will do. It has to be a baptism for the remission of sins, or Paul wouldn't have told those in Ephesus to do it again. We must be baptized for the right reasons. But if you have been baptized for the right reasons, if you are a Christian this evening and you haven't been playing God's symphony, do whatever it takes this evening to get right with God. If you need to come forward, if you need to ask for prayers, if you need to confess sin after services, if you need to go talk to someone, or if you need to get on your knees tonight and pray to God, do whatever it takes this evening to get right with God as we stand and as we sing.